Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's an open forum today. What do you feel like talking about? I feel like talking about the state budget, see if anybody has any great ideas for how to plug that as upwards of $8 billion hole in the budget that's expected next year. Also, are you interested in talking about President Obama's new six-year plan to upgrade the nation's roads, rails, and runways? And on that topic, should Ohio forego its $400 million share of federal money for passenger rail between Cleveland, Columbus, and Dayton? According to a Dispatch poll, Ohioans are split on that topic. The CDC wants us to toughen our traffic laws. They say that the deaths and injuries from traffic crashes cost us $99 billion last year in the United States. Ohio was ranked 37th in traffic deaths in 2008. They say that if we had helmet laws for motorcyclists and had mandatory seatbelt laws that were primary offense, meaning that you didn't have to be pulled over for something else before you could be fined for it or ticketed for it, that it would improve things a lot. Also, our red light camera operations in Ohio are on an ad hoc basis among the communities, and they're saying that that's not such a good idea either. It should be statewide. So let me know, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Twitter us at Ann Fisher WOSU. That's ANNFISHER WOSU. You can go to All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and talk to us there. I've got the press release. Well, it's from the Office of the Press Secretary at the White House regarding the president's new plan to renew and expand America's roads, railways, and runways. He talked about it yesterday in Milwaukee. He announced the what they're calling a comprehensive infrastructure plan to expand and renew our nation's roads, railways, and runways. And if nothing else, it's alliterate. So it's nice to say. It is part of the economic recovery that he plans, and it builds upon, apparently, infrastructure investments that he already has made through the Recovery Act, including, I would imagine, that chunk of money that Ohio is supposed to share in to establish passenger rail between Cleveland, Columbus, and Dayton, $400 million of federal money, but it would include state subsidies of roughly $17 million a year. And the question is the revenue from ridership, would that overcome the subsidy or not? That's kind of the question. 614-292-8513. What do you think about passenger rail in Ohio? Would you rather they just build it around us? You can go to allsides@wosu.org if you want to talk to us that way. Now, with the roads, the funding, it's $50 billion the first year. That's something of a chunk of change. It would rebuild 150,000 miles of roads. They say it would renew our commitment to the backbone of our transportation system, which was pretty much expanded started to become what it is today back in the 50s during the Eisenhower administration. My recollection is that it was established really as a security measure so that if evacuations were needed and that sort of thing, we would have a way to evacuate quickly and orderly on our interstate highway system. That's what it was for. It also created a system of much smoother roads for our cars as that technology became more sophisticated. The railways construct and maintain 4,000 miles of rail, passenger rail, enough to go coast to coast. Right now, you can't do that. But you could if they finished doing these 4,000 miles of rail. And then the runways, rehabilitate or reconstruct 150 miles of runway while putting in place a next-gen system that will reduce travel times and delays. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Tom, welcome to All Sides.
Welcome. Good day. I just have to say I think we do need a passenger rail in Columbus. I think it needs to be expanded more than what they want to do. And, on the red light cameras and everything, I think they should have everybody take a urine test once a month. also put cameras in our homes to make sure we're not hurting each other. And I'll answer off the air.
Wow. Yeah, you're very thorough, Tom. Thanks a lot for your call. All right. So Tom either wants none of the red lights or go all the way and put them in our homes and just get started first thing in the morning, I guess. Thinks passenger rail is a good idea for Ohio. A lot of Ohioans disagree. At least half of them, and most of the Republicans I know disagree with the idea of establishing passenger rail across the state of Ohio. There are options. They could go around Ohio up into Michigan and down around to Chicago. Certainly, they're not depending on Ohio. Question is, do you think it would be a good economic boost for the state, or do you think it would just suck money out of the state to the tune of $17 million a year? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us, or go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page or Twitter at Ann Fisher WOSU. Anna, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was actually calling to talk about the rail system. I don't fully comprehend all the ins and outs of it, but I simply told the your receptionist, I don't know what his formal title is.
He's our screener.
Thank you. Sorry.
That's okay.
If we're going to actually do the rail system, and if there's a certain time that we can apply for the money or receive the government funding, then I would rather see it go to the actual making of the railroad or the system. And I don't want it to be I want it to be a rapid transit. I don't want it to be stuck at some idling 60 or 50 miles an hour. I just really think that if it's going to be rapid transit, that we ought to do it. And I don't want to see the money go to yet another study to see if it's feasible.
So you think when you talk about rapid transit, you're talking about high speed, like the bullet train kinds of things. Yeah, mm-hmm. Billions and billions of dollars.
I don't know. I mean, I can see how small towns would think if they put up even one bullet train that'll bypass us, and there goes certain money out of the town.
Mm-hmm.
It is more complicated than certainly even just our discussion today. Mm-hmm. But I don't work for the government in any way, shape, or form. But I just get tired of hearing about studies being done. It just seems ad nauseum. And that's all I think.
I'm sure you think a lot more than that, Anna. So when you're talking about high speed, do you get the idea that from what we hear from the government is, yeah, they want to get there too, but it's a building block process. In other words, if you're going to do high speed, you got to have some place where people can get on the rail and get to other places to get to the high speed.
That would mean more than a hub. It would mean mm-hmm. it would mean real connectivity. God, that sounds so trite. But I mean, my mom's dad worked on the railroad, or at least he worked at one of the rail stations when it was still used, and when it was part of the American Transit experience. My mom would go to Chicago with her parents and her brothers, and she went to the original Marshall Field. And it wasn't simply because her dad worked on the railroad. They had family they could meet there.
Where did she travel from?
From Zanesville.
Zanesville, okay.
I think certainly for people who at some point may not be allowed to drive, having access to a good rail system would be an obvious, choice. It would be much better than having to pay for taxis or whatnot. But I'm thinking more even in that line of like a subway. I'm not the most knowledgeable person, but I just think that even if it were through one corridor, say across the northern aisle,
mm-hmm.
The northern strip, if it paralleled, it's the toll road.
Oh, 80?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it paralleled that, it would mean that, I don't know, people who live in Cleveland could maybe go to a job in Chicago. You know.
But it'd have to be the high speed.
For that. Yeah. For that. It's very complex. I guess my own, the sticking point I have is just the research studies done ad nauseum.
Okay.
And with that, I'll hang up and okay. have someone more informed talking.
Thanks for your call, Anna. Thanks for listening. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Bill, you're on the air.
Hello, Ann. I really enjoy your program.
Thanks, Bill.
Back in the 50s, I spoke in a number of civic associations to support Eisenhower's proposal for the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
And in many of those, I was called a communist, and the audience would jump up, and a couple of times I was saved by somebody saying, "There, there, that's the way the young generation is thinking these days." And it just reminds me of the opposition to all of the proposals that we've had this year. It comes from that same kind of thinking, I think.
You know, I read something really interesting a couple months ago about how North Carolina and South Carolina opposed the interstate system so much that they didn't get they didn't loop around their neck of the woods. And it's what set them back for so many years. And, of course, since they started building the highways there in the 70s and 80s, development in North Carolina and South Carolina has, boomed. But before that, it was still somewhat of a backwater because it wasn't part of the interstate system.
Oh, no question that the people, you'd think that the people that oppose progress in so many instances would learn from history, but they don't seem to, and those voices are always there.
Why do you think people say supporting something like an interstate system was communistic? Or socialistic?
Well, the rational grounds for it was that they believed that the Constitution did not permit the federal government to enter into those kinds of activities, okay. even though we had a large system of federal highways, and we needed a large system of federal highways. But the irrational part of it was just part of that Cold War fever, that anything the government did was communist and was to be opposed. Mm. And now they're calling it socialist, but it's the same kind of irrational thinking. And it's a selfish thinking. It's thinking that it's like the Massachusetts farmer who opposed the public school system on the grounds that he should not be required to pay for some other child, some other man's children, to get an education.
Right. That's pretty common. I mean, people say they don't want to pay for a new park. They don't want to pay for this or that.
Right. And it's that kind of thinking that, as I say, I think it's a selfish thinking that I'm responsible only for myself. And, in fact, I went to one of the rallies last spring, and I asked the fella how he got there. I wondered if he drove on an interstate highway because he was thinking he should take care of only him and only his children, and everybody else was responsible for doing the same for themselves. It's not really very productive nor very rational thinking, but it's just a sense of opposing anything that I have to pay for that goes to someone else.
Well, thanks for your call, Bill.
Okay.
Take care. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to have to take a break. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's an open forum today. We've got calls waiting. We welcome your call as well at 614-292-8513. Email us at allsides@wosu.org. Keep Amy the producer busy, and you can Twitter us, and you can go to All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. I know she loves checking those things out. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Get perspective from all the day's news with All Things Considered and the latest business news on Marketplace. Weekdays starting at 4 on WOSU 89.7 FM, NPR News, and classical music. And remember, you can hear more from the station anytime at our website, WOSU.org. Listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher whenever you want with the online archive. Podcast new and archived shows from all the guests and topics. You can podcast All Sides at WOSU.org/All Sides. And it's 80 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:21 this morning. Sunny skies today and another hot one with a high of 90 degrees. There's a slight chance of rain tonight, otherwise cloudy skies and a low of 55. Sunny for tomorrow and a high of 76, and sunny for Thursday as well with a high of 77. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's an open forum today, and we're talking about, among other things, the president's plan to fund passenger rail across the United States. It's part of a six-year program to renew and expand America's roads, railways, and runways. And as far as railways go, beyond what they've already proposed, they want to construct and maintain 4,000 miles of rail, enough to go coast to coast, but will it go around the Buckeye State? That is the question. Bob, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann. My view is that I've been an ecologist for about 40 years, and I'm in favor of trains. I've ridden them to Rhode Island and Chicago. I've ridden them out in Arizona and California, Utah.
But
I've never ridden them north or south from here. And
I have.
And, well, I haven't. Okay. I'm just reporting about me.
Oh,
well,
okay.
What I'd like to say is that it may be that I'm worried that we have enough people sitting around the table nodding in agreement that it's a good idea to have this rail traffic and then have the system fail for lack of demand.
That's what you're worried about?
Yes. Okay. You know, my favorite character, Donald Rumsfeld, said once, if you can't solve a problem, make it bigger. And I think his problem, what he had in mind was pour gasoline on it. For me, I think I interpret it as meaning make the context bigger. And that's usually a better way to solve a solution, look for solutions. Than head nodding.
Okay.
Nothing fails like the successful head nod, I don't think.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Bob.
Okay,
take
bye.
Care. Bye-bye. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Terry, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Good, thanks.
First of all, I wanted to say that I don't think the rail plan is valid. And it's too costly. And we're an agrarian society in Ohio. Along the East Coast, you have massive population groups which can support rail and does support rail to some degree. It's still a losing proposition there. So as an agrarian state, I think it's misplaced funds. I went to Columbus Metropolitan Club a few months back where they had a debate about this.
Right.
Rail system. Mm-hmm. And the point that was made, which I haven't heard, which I hear rarely, is that a lot of the effort is also directed toward freight of this rail system that they're talking about. The gentleman who's in charge was there, and he stated emphatically several times that this is not mainly about passenger rail. It's about freight. So there's a mixed message, and they're going to have a tough time selling everything if they continue with that kind of tack in terms of how they want to accomplish it, I believe.
Do you have any interest in rail personally? I mean, if they did build it, and would you ever ride a train?
Oh, yeah, I rode a train as a kid. Mm-hmm. One of my most fun things was to get on a train in Springfield and ride to South Charleston all of 5 miles.
Why was it fun?
Well, I was 5 years old.
Everything's fun when you're five, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I love trains. And I'd ride a train to Cleveland if it was there. I don't work there. I don't work anymore. I retired recently. But I think trains are an opportunity for mass travel, obviously. And you could accomplish something if, as a business person, I would think, if they provided wireless and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, the railroads abdicated so much of their right-of-way that to get the right-of-way back is just going to cost a fortune to build, you know, a high-speed train system.
Yeah, that's why they have to start with existing tracks.
Well, and that's going to be a battle because that's mostly freight.
Right.
And the freight guys, you know, this country runs on freight. On transportation, without it, you don't get your food. You know, food. Our food is just on-time delivery.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it. Our grocery stores depend on that semi picking the food up at the distribution center every day and taking it to the store.
Mm-hmm.
If that's disrupted, you starve because there's nowhere else to get food. So, the transportation system is the bigger issue, and you know, I think it's just a red herring that. Rail travel for passengers should even be a discussion. I mean, the car is such a big influence. The car lobby is such a big influence. And virtually, I don't know what the percentage is, but I would guess it's more than 40% of the jobs in this country are based on the automobile in one way or another. So it's an uphill battle. I just don't think it's worth the effort, especially now.
Because of the economy.
Because of the economy. Okay. I think it's, you know, they're going to argue jobs. Yeah, I suppose. But it's just not well thought out. It's a political thing right now. It's, you know, it's election time. And so there'll be a little bit of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
But
you
in
think?
All, yeah, I think, I know. In the Wall Street Journal yesterday, the billions, or maybe it was today, the Wall Street Journal today has. It's all about the elections, and the money that's been accumulated is in the billions of dollars.
Yeah, something, isn't it?
Which could go toward more useful things, I would think. Wouldn't you?
Yes, probably. I did mention that we could talk about the ad blitz coming. The Dispatch wrote about it today.
Yes.
I think they're talking about...
For $13 million in this market alone, isn't it?
Right, in this market alone. $13 million. So that's and they always spend most of their money on mass media. That's where
right because it still has the best reach,
biggest bang for your buck. So
that's right. Still does.
Terry, thanks for your call.
Hey, you're welcome, man.
Appreciate hearing
have a great
from
day.
You. You too.
Sure. Bye.
614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Georgia, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. A couple of callers back, that gentleman that was talking about the people opposing the interstates, that kind of reminded me that's what Tom Hartman calls the commons, and it seems like reactionaries never want to spend money on the commons. But the real point that I had about the rail system is that as long as we don't have good mass transit within the cities, I don't think it will stand alone, because the problem is that once you get there, you still need a car. And there are times when I could ride a train to a major city, but having gotten there, I wouldn't be able to execute what I came there for.
What about if it were set up like it is at the airport? I mean, the airport's far-flung. How do we do that?
Well, maybe you could use something like these short-term rent-a-cars that they have in some cities that people can pick up the small cars just to, you know, commute short distances. Mm-hmm. Maybe that would work. But I think without mass transit in the cities, it's really going to be a handicap problem. The whole system needs to be intermeshed so that mass transit of all kinds matches up to it, each other. And
okay.
That's the part that probably does necessitate a study, as much as I hate them too.
A la Anna, right?
Yeah. But to just go out there and fling, you know, mid-speed rail lines down, if the other states contiguous to us are going to do it, then we have to do it. And I don't think we should be left out, having said what I said before, mm-hmm. but I don't think that doing that is going to be the end product.
Okay. Okay. So you don't want the rail to go around Ohio, but you'd like to see them establish a system that makes sense.
Right. I'd like to see that be the beginning okay. of getting rid of the necessity for cars.
Okay.
Cars haven't been a necessity in part of my lifetime. I didn't grow up thinking cars were a necessity. But we've allowed that to happen to the point where now you really can't get around it. And I think we need to attack the whole problem. And as far as that gentleman saying it's not worth it, well, it's going to be worth it. Because there will be a point at which people can't afford to drive individual family cars the way we do now. And if we don't have something prepared as a substitute, we're going to wish we had.
Okay, Georgia, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
614-292-8513. We have an email from a listener. If you want to email us, allsides@wosu.org. This listener writes, this won't work. They're talking about the rail proposal. This won't work until you first wean Ohioans away from their cars. You have a better chance of doing this if you improve local transportation systems in all the cities. COTA's routes and schedules aren't conducive to encouraging commuters to use them instead of their cars. Come up with more and better routes using green buses or minibuses. Make the price reasonable. Get people used to traveling this way, and then they'll then be much more likely to use a train. If you'd like to send an email, send it to allsides@wosu.org. You can go to our Facebook page if you prefer that mode of communication, All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. And we're Twittering now. Folks, if you Twitter, send it to Ann Fisher WOSU if you have a question or comment for us, or 614-292-8513. We have an email from a listener. The state has in recent times made substantial cuts to their budgets. This is about the budget. I trust that state government has already looked at reducing slash combining where necessary to keep costs down. I would like to propose that there is a reduction in the number of hours that state workers work from 40 to 35. With that, employees would be paid for a 35-hour work week. This would reduce payroll while keeping staffing levels, areas of expertise intact. Okay, so cutting back the work week. I don't know what the kind of deals they've cut with the unions, the organized labor in the state of Ohio. But that's an idea. Just cutting back that way, they could expand back the hours if and when the economy ever improves. Okay, 614-292-8513. What are your ideas about what to cut or how to cut or how to trim or maybe tax? I think the dispatch poll said that 11% of the respondents would be willing to pay higher taxes or at least think that's one way to do it. What do you think? 614-292-8513. That ad blitz, you know, part of that's going to include robocalls. Are you ready for those robocalls? Now, they say that, and it's the same thing with negative campaign ads. You hate them, but apparently there's something that we love to hate as well as the robocalls because they work. That's why they do. That's why they use them. That's why they spend so much money on them. Is because they work. Same thing with the robocalls. I mean, the campaigns must know it drives most people nuts, but they do it anyways. Why? Because the risks outweigh the benefits. Apparently, they work. So tell us what you think. 614-292-8513. Do you change channels when campaign advertising, political advertisements come on in the fall? Or do you just listen to stations that don't have it at all, like HBO? 614-292-8513. And Jim, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Okay, this is relating to the rail
sure.
program.
Yep.
Okay, basically what I was saying to your screener there. At least I haven't heard so far. One, it's really part of energy independence, isn't it? It is a known fact that a better rail system consumes less energy than all the cars and all the activity related around the car. So as a piece of the program towards energy independence, rail is a part of that particular piece. And the issue that we were talking about the cities not having infrastructure, first of all, a lot of them do already. Plus, of course, they all have bus systems. They all they all, They all have taxis. My son particularly lives in Denver. Alongside the rail, the highway system, they are building a rapid transit program right alongside it. It looks very creative, very innovative. My one son happens to live in this Highland Ranch area, which was built in, it started a nice area, built around the, it started in, you know, maybe the mid-80s or so. But it's completely suburbanized from you can't go anywhere without a car within that mm-hmm. particular town. So conceptually then, we have to as a country think, do we want to continue to build the next outer belt into the next cornfield, okay, which uses, of course, more of our fossil fuels going forward. And the other aspect of that, I don't see anybody talking about, well, what has Europe done? What has Japan done with the rail systems? And are we using that information to begin to build our structure within our own country? Because they're 50 years ahead of us.
Jim, we decimated
the rail system over the last 100 years in this country.
Right. Well, what do you think about the previous caller that said, I think it was Terry, who said that we're too our populations are too dispersed. We have pockets of high population, obviously, on the, you know, the eastern seaboard, but mostly we're more agrarian and it's more spread out and it doesn't have that same economy of scale that they'd have in Europe or Japan.
Well, I think that's a valid point. We obviously are a larger country there. It's certainly not going to work everywhere, but certainly the contiguous areas within the state of Ohio, you know, with the major cities, certainly that is an area that I believe it would be in the long run profitable. And the connection between here and Chicago, for example, you know, what is the demand between those areas versus the next plane flight that you want to go to that particular area? So, you know, it's just a piece of the entire program to get us towards energy independence. And really, maybe it's time as a country that we start looking at our cities, and instead of allowing the core to rot, okay, and build the next outer belt, maybe we got to, and as Columbus is doing, I think, wonderful examples of it throughout Columbus, going inwardly and making it a very productive city, a very hub like it used to be, okay, starting up until, frankly, the 50s.
50s, right.
And the advent of the suburbia and the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe, you know, this is all about change, you know. It's all about, you know, nothing stays the same. Our president isn't looking to the next election. Our president is looking at the next generation for our country, and what we need to do collectively.
Okay.
I don't know about the rest of the people calling in, but I am not fighting another war for oil.
The other issue when you talk about energy independence. It's also a sense of it's a security issue too. But you know what, Jim, I got to let you go because we got to take a break.
Very good. And one quick thing, it has to do with the $400 million that the president's stimulus package has to do with rail.
That's 400 million, yeah.
400 million. That's just a small, tiny example of it's just the beginning, okay, of what we need to do to restore and to go look forward to another way of transporting the people in this country.
All right.
Thank
Jim,
you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Sure.
614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have to take another break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about that rail proposal, and we'll talk about the budget. We've got callers waiting to do both. If you want to give us a call, again, 614-292-8513. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear conversations that you won't hear anywhere else.
Do you understand love?
Well, I understand caring. See, most of my relationships are more intellect, and to me, love is caring.
Posing questions to fascinating people like Temple Grandin and giving them the time to answer on Fresh Air.
And on today's edition of Fresh Air, how to remain objective when writing about terrorists. Pulitzer Prize winning writer Lawrence Wright joins Fresh Air at noon. That's just about 20 minutes away, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. And at WOSU, listener feedback is very important. We'd like to hear your thoughts on the conversations we've been having across the radio and web. We're creating an online audience advisory panel, and we're looking for your help. So if you have a moment, just go to WOSU.org/survey, and there you can sign up and send us your thoughts. That's WOSU.org/survey. And it's 80 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:41 this morning. Sunshine today and another hot day with a high near 90. There's a slight chance of rain tonight, otherwise cloudy skies, a low of 55 degrees. Sunny for tomorrow and a high of 76, and more sunshine for Thursday and a high right around 77. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820, NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's an open forum today. It seems to be talking about the budget and the proposal for expanding rail through Ohio. If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Let's see. Fred, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. And you want to talk about 3C Rail, too.
That's correct, Ann, and thanks. I'm going to say a number of things, but I haven't been able to listen 100% of the time, so I may confuse some of the callers. But the first caller I want to comment on was talking about Ohio's commitment to highways and cars. And I would call it more a commitment. It's a dependence or really an addiction. And to say we can't do anything else to replace that is like saying in the 1920s, no roads, we're going to keep the horses. So we have to look to the future.
Well, I think it was Terry, but there was also another person who said we have to break that addiction.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Terry made the point that, well, a lot of our economy revolves around automobiles.
Well, a lot of our economy that revolves around automobiles can also be involved around rail service. The contractors, the construction, the machinery, and everything else will convert. Sure, there will be some new trades created and some old trades go away, but the country's had to go through this for many years. We can't just hang on to this because that's what we do now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a lady that made a comment about she would be more, I think it was the lady, that said she'd be more interested in it if it connected with neighboring states that were doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, if you want to call Michigan, Indiana, Pennsylvania neighboring states, they're knee-deep in rail, way, way ahead of where we're going now. But don't confuse what we're saying about the 3C with high-speed rail.
Right.
True high-speed rails, 200 miles an hour or something like that, common in Europe and some parts of Asia. China's building some and everywhere. That it would be an effort for this country comparable to the building of the freeways in the 50s and 60s. And sooner or later, we may have to do that, but that would be a massive thing. However, bringing current technology to Ohio the way it's already done in California, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Indiana is, I think, a very important step for our state and central Ohio if we're going to function and prosper in the future.
Do you think it'd make any difference? I mean, really, if Ohio didn't participate in this, if we still have Cleveland and Cincinnati, would it really make a difference if the passenger rail system went around Ohio?
Well, it wouldn't go around Ohio as such. The passenger trains run through Ohio every night. The problem is they're driven by the East Coast and Chicago, and so they go through Ohio in the middle of the night.
Right.
But I think it would make a difference to a lot of intermediate service. And when you think of rail, realize it's not like an airplane. Airplanes take off and go from city A to city B. But rail, as is going to happen in Ohio, stop many places in between. And it would be nice if we got enough business going where we connect in Cleveland and Amtrak could put a train that went through Ohio in the daytime, left okay. Chicago in the morning and got to New York in the evening. And then we would have daylight service and convenient service. So, yes, I think there would be adaptation to what Ohio does involved with Amtrak and the neighboring states if they put in any more state-funded rail.
Fred, we got a lot of folks waiting to talk, so I got to let you go, but I appreciate you calling.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye.
Let's see, 614-292-8513. And Steve, you've got an idea for balancing the budget?
Yes. I think that we should invest in product development because that's really taking your ideas and having it expressed in a very monetary and economic way. I think that if you ever notice this, it may sound kind of strange, but if you ever notice this, the economy contracts and grows like a solar flare.
Hmm.
I was wondering if we could study the physics of the economics. No, I'm serious.
No, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. It's kind of an interesting idea.
Another thing, you know, as far as mathematics and everything, how much geometry have you noticed in nature and yourselves?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think we should study ourselves a lot more.
Well, Julie Zickafoos says we can by studying other animals, too. So
that's true.
Just talked with Julie. Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Steve, take care. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And, Joe, you have an interesting idea that no one's mentioned before. Welcome to the show.
Well, right now we have the ability to take a head of lettuce out of a field in California and have it in the produce department of the grocery store in 6 days. Why don't we just couple a train car onto an existing train and pull it to where we want to pull it to? Why do we have to buy our right-of-way, lay track, buy engines, put a signal system in? It just seems like they want their whole thing.
They're talking about using existing rail to start with, which is one of the reasons why the rail can't be faster, because the way it's built now for freight limits the speed.
That's
79 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
But that's fine and dandy, but why do we have to go buy our own engines? Why can't we just hook onto the existing train?
I don't know.
It doesn't seem like they've even thought of that idea.
You know, when I first read the note from my screener, why can't we put cars on existing rails? My mind, this is where it went, was, you know, how when you take a ferry across a body of water, lots of times people put their cars on the ferry when people are asking about what are you going to do when you get there. And I was thinking, that's what I was thinking, is you were talking about. So
hooking a train car to a freight train.
Yeah, now you're talking about
the way we're going.
Right. Okay.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me.
All right. Joe, thanks for your call. Take care. 614-292-8513, and let's go to Scott. You want to talk about the budget, Scott? Thanks for joining the show.
Hi. Yeah, I am a former state employee.
Okay.
And I left in 2005, and in those days, the budget cuts had already started pretty profoundly,
mm-hmm.
and they have continued ever since, even more so. And I was particularly... noted the caller who said, why don't we cut back to a 35-hour work week? And I don't know how well aware people are of it, but it was either last year or the year before, there was a huge cut across the board of
10%,
state employees.
I think. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so that, you know, a lot of state employees are taking 10 furlough days now that are unpaid. It was an enormous cut, and that was on top of cuts sort of every year, every other year for the last 10 years or so.
Right.
And we're getting to the point now where they're barely functional, state agencies are, as it is, many of them. And a lot of services have already suffered and continue to suffer. And we just have to people have to get over this notion that we can balance the state budget on the backs of state workers and still have a functional state government. I mean, there's a limit, you know, to how many cuts you can do and still have anything be functional.
Right.
And so that's what I wanted to say.
All right. Doug, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. 614-292, that was Scott. That was Scott. Doug's coming up. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@amfisher. But, I'm sorry, allsides@wosu.org. But if you're going to email us, keep the emails tight. You know, one paragraph, three sentences. I know it's asking a lot, but it makes it a lot more likely that you'll get your email read on the air, because somebody has to edit those down and it takes time. So if you can help us out with that, keep it tight. We'd appreciate it. I feel like I'm back in my old newspaper writing days now. 614-292-8513. And Doug, you're on the air.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for your truly fair and balanced forum here. My point is that, to balance the state budget, we have to start making things again in this country. Our tax policies, you know, we're sending all our – everything's made in China and Asia, it seems. And when we bring the jobs back, that's when we'll balance the budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then my point about the rail is, you know, I'm supportive of mass transit and rail and stuff, but I'm skeptical it's going to be feasible until we pay the true cost of – gas, at the pump. You know, the oil companies externalized so many of their costs, the cancer, the thousands of cancers burning hydrocarbons caused, the wars we fight for the oil, the pollution in the, you know, pretty much all over the place. We don't pay for that at the pump. You know, if we paid for that at all at the pump, it'd be $15, $20 a gallon, and then mass transit would work.
Do you have a sense about how much it would cost at the pump to start moving people away from automobiles?
Do I have a sense how much it would cost?
Yeah, what's the sort of the breaking point per gallon?
I have no idea. Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that much.
Well, I know that a use of mass transit in Columbus went up a lot when it went over $4 a gallon a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
But then it dropped, of course, as soon as the price of gas went down. Thanks for your call, Jim.
All right.
All right, Doug. I'm messing up all over the place. Thanks, Doug.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
614-292-8513. And Jim, you're on the air. Now it's Jim. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. My comment is about the energy problem. And I think that the current administration is going to be shooting itself in the foot somewhat by going with this idea for rail, when the solution can be a truly American solution because we have so much natural gas. We are the Saudi Arabia of natural gas here in the U.S. We have enough natural gas to supply all of our energy needs, every light bulb, every car, every house, for 300 years. If we convert our current existing fleet over to natural gas in, like, let's say in a half a generation, 12, 15 years, something like that, we can really get off the oil wagon pretty darn good.
Isn't distribution part of the problem, and that's pretty expensive infrastructure to make it
easy? Well, sure, that would make a great industry growth industry, don't mm-hmm. you think? And right now, there is a project underway to convert all of America's trucking fleet, which is 12 million trucks, to natural gas. Now think about what's going to happen if the trucking industry gives a thumbs up and a green light to that conversion to natural gas. The auto industries will follow after that. The infrastructure being built would be, you know, part of the green revolution. This would be a completely American solution. This is not Europe. I've lived in Europe before. The train system's not going to work. It's not going to work. This administration will get in really deep trouble with this idea. But if they just follow what's going on right now, like the T. Boone Pickens, and the wind, harvesting the wind energy too, which we have in abundance, that'll be a truly American solution. We can keep our cars. We won't go to trains, which nobody's going to really go to anyhow. And we'll save a tremendous amount of money.
Okay. Jim, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Take care. 614-292-8513. We have a few more minutes, and I forgot all about the T. Boone Pickens plan. I think it's called T. Boone Pickens plan, and you can see it on the internet if you want. It talks about wind energy especially. Let's see. Gloria has been waiting, and I'm on my way. Gloria, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm really enjoying your show today, but I enjoy it every day, and I enjoyed when you wrote for the Dispatch.
Thanks, Gloria.
You're welcome. I just wanted to add my comment in your last caller made a great comment about the natural gas, but also the train system does need to come back into play. I really think we're missing the boat in this country. My first trip to Columbus in the 60s was via rail from Pittsburgh, and we had one then, and you either got a taxi or a bus and went where you were going to go. We have children all over the United States, and our kids cannot, if they want to come by Amtrak, I have to drive to Cleveland practically or wherever to pick them up. It's just not what it should be. We've let that slip away from us. We need to get it back, and I think people don't like change. A lot of people don't like change, but that's what's going to make this country keep growing and going, and we have to do that, become independent. And I think the president has great ideas. Yes, he needs a lot of guidance, but that's what we're all here for. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that can help him do that if they just open up and listen. So, I mean, We're a country that is limitless in our abilities. We can't depend on all the outsiders. We need to do it ourselves and get with the program.
Gloria,
and thank you very much.
Thank you, Gloria. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Let's see. We have a quick email from Paul. Why don't we just upgrade bus service instead of train service? It's cheaper, more efficient, more flexible, and provides better schedules. Why not just upgrade Greyhound? All right. Thanks for that email, Paul. And Gary, you're on the air next. Gary, we're running out of time, but welcome to the show.
Hey, I just wanted to add, you asked earlier what is the kind of the critical point for people to get into mass transit. I was over in Europe, and gas over there is the equivalent of about $7 a gallon. And, you know, I do think that gas needs to be heavily taxed. I think it's the, first of all, we can use the revenue to find alternative sources and build alternative sources of energy. And then it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling way. People will drive less, they'll get more fuel-efficient cars, and we can use that money to build alternate forms of transportation.
What about the cost of the trucking industry, though, the freight industry?
I think it will work itself out. Yes, there will be higher costs in shipping, but then, you know what, people will start to ship more in trains. Is it necessary for, freight to be here overnight or the next day? You know, I've been around working for 30 years, and things didn't have to be there overnight, you know? There's no problem with things going by train and getting here in a few days. I think our whole culture and sense of transportation needs to change. Otherwise, all we're doing is just lining the pockets of the people that are out to kill us. Let's just be honest about it. You know, we're sending money overseas, and we need to quit doing that.
All righty. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Take care, Gary. 614, well, I'm not going to put out the number anymore because we've got a couple calls already waiting. And Rick, you're on the air. We just got about a minute. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I questioned the idea that Ohio is an agrarian economy.
Yeah, it's actually seven major metro areas in Ohio, one of the most populous.
Right. And the benefit of the rail is it would connect Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Toledo, and Dayton, and if we're trying to move into a technological economy, to have the academic centers linked, I think would be greatly beneficial. And if most of our economy is about the other side, which is contradiction, if it's about the automobile industry in Ohio has died, and putting the trains there instead, using that, would make sense.
All right. Well, thanks for
your
call.
You.
Thanks for waiting.
Thank you.
We've got time for just one more call. Roy, you're it, and I've got about 30 seconds. Hi,
hello.
Roy.
Hi. Yes, hi. I don't know if you've ever been to England or not and traveled from England to France on the train. You drive your automobile on a train, and you whisk along in very good comfort. The same thing can be done here from Cincinnati, Cleveland, Columbus situation. It would take 25% at least of the roads off the interstate, cars off Interstate 71, and transport you more safely and cheaper. I don't know why it can't be done. The technology already exists.
Okay. You know, so then if you want to do that big cross-country trip out west, you could bring your car along. You wouldn't have to worry about transportation once you get there. That's what you mean.
Precisely.
Okay. All right. Roy, thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. We're out of time. Thanks for joining our open forum today on all sides. Appreciate all the calls and all the emails. Didn't get to all of them. I'll try to post some of them, if I can, on Facebook so you can read what people had to say. We will return again. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News.